All right.
29. We've been studying on Wednesday nights and looking at praise and how praise should be a part of our everyday life. Amen? We ought to be able to find reasons without digging, very deep. We ought to be able to find reasons in which to praise the Lord for. Amen? And so I want to jump back and just real briefly just catch us back up to where we are, just as a point of reference. Reference isn't what I was looking for, but what does it mean when you go back? Review. Who said review? Good job, Marion. Oh, that's why I keep you right up front. Help me out with my vernacular. Yeah, just as a point of review, just to get us caught up. Well, let me say this. How many of you remember what we talked about last Wednesday? You have the notes. Quit that. Yeah, well, so Psalm 96. Psalm number 96 in verses 3 and 4 says, declare His glory among the nations, His wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. And so, as we reflect on the majesty of God and on His goodness, we can't help. We ought to not be able to help, but tell people about it. What's God done in your life? I mean, I started this out last week the same way. What has God done in your life? What do you have to be grateful for or thankful for in your life? I mean, I got all kinds of things that I can give glory for. And when we begin to reflect on God's majesty and on His goodness to us, it ought to just be a natural flow of events that we begin to just tell others about Him and about what He's done. And so witnessing begins to come naturally when our hearts are full of appreciation for what He's done. So that bears another question. Do we even appreciate what God has done? Are we grateful for what God's done? Are we grateful for what He's doing in our lives? And so it's for this reason that the psalmist invited you and I and those that he was writing to acknowledge and join Israel in making God's glory known among all people and all nations. And so because the Lord is so great, He's worthy of all of our praise. He's God with us. Amen? We ought to be telling everybody, He alone is to be feared. No other so-called gods are worshipped by the pagan nations. He's the God above all gods. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. Amen? Steve, is this really hot? This seems really, really hot to me. Back this thing down just a little bit because I feel like I'm blowing people's ears off. Amen. You had to take your hearing aids out. That's an indicator that I'm too loud for sure. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 4, it says, we know that an idol is nothing in the world. In fact, let me just back up just a little bit because this is important. And I touched on this last week, but about idols, the gods, little g, the gods of the nation were no gods, for the word translated idols in verse 5 means things that are nothing. Things that are nothing. Things that are weak and worthless. See, it was Jehovah, God, that created the universe. I remember a joke that where the devil decided he wanted to have a contest with God and prove once and for all, you know, who was the greatest. And the devil said that he could create his own man and they were going to have a contest and see who could do the best. And so they started gathering dirt, and God said, no, wait, you got to get your own dirt. Can't be using my dirt. You got to get your own dirt. Amen. I mean, when God created everything, He created everything. Amen. Including the devil, Satan. He was Lucifer, and I talked about him on Sunday. I'm not going to give him much of the spotlight tonight, but the presence of the glory of God brought divine splendor, and it brought majesty, and it brings strength to the people. Don't you just feel stronger when you're in the presence of the Lord? Amen. I mean, when you just get in His presence, and I want to go to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, and Peter here calls on the children of God, God's people, to show forth the praises of His people. In fact, this is what it says. It says that you are a chosen generation. How many of you realize that tonight? That we're chosen. We're not a mistake. When I was a kid growing up, it seemed like that it was a catchphrase for kids that were born unplanned, that they were referred to as mistakes. Listen, God don't make mistakes. Amen? God does not make mistakes. If you were not a planned birth, it doesn't matter. God had His plan. Amen? And you're not a mistake. You're a chosen generation. It goes on, says you're a royal priesthood. How many of you just feel better tonight knowing that you have royalty in you? Amen? Royalty. Royalty. A chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. I like this next line. His own special people. His own special people. When you got up this morning, Scott, did you think that you were His own special child? I mean, did that thought come to you? Did any of us have that recollection that when I woke up this morning, it just dawned on me, just realized that I'm His own special. You asked for it? Well, He says you're His own special people. That's what He says. That you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. Now, here's another question. How many of us struggle with this being called out of darkness and into His... How many... Sometimes the darkness just tries to overwhelm you. The darkness just tries to overwhelm. Listen, we need to walk in His light. This verse, it contrasts the privilege and the destiny of believers with that of unbelievers. Believers are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, His own special people. We are a distinct group from the rest of the world, and we are unified by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Amen? I don't care what name you have over the church. If we can agree on Jesus Christ and Him crucified, buried in the grave, raised 3 days later, at the right hand of God interceding for me, we can be friends. We can be family. Amen. I don't care what you got over the door of your church. If we can agree on the precepts of God's Word and the principles in God's Word, then the rest of it, I don't care about that so much. As long as I know that I'm blood washed, blood bought, my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. So just as the nation of Israel had been God's chosen people, as Christians, we have become God's people. Amen? There's no longer Greek nor Jew, slave or free. We are part of the family of God. It's not something that is done by physical birth into a certain race, but by spiritual rebirth into God's family brought through Jesus Christ. Believers are a kingdom of priests, God's holy nation. See, this is what Nicodemus was having trouble with. Remember in John chapter 3? At the beginning of chapter 3, when Nicodemus was you know, waiting for Jesus, and Jesus said, well, you know, you have to be born again. He's like, how's that going to work? Because our thinking is limited. Our thinking is, well, I know what birth is all about, and I can't go again into my mother's womb. Jesus said, no, you got to be born of the Spirit. Amen? You got to be born again. Being part of a priesthood is a high honor for you and I. We are, as believers, are God's very own possession. Possession is where we lose about 90% of the church. I shouldn't probably say 90. Maybe 89. But people don't like to categorize themselves as being possessed. That you're a possession of someone. Well, listen. Is that your phone? Is that your phone? Did you buy it? You didn't steal it. You bought it. You bought it. So it's yours. It's your possession. Do you confer with your possession whether or not you're going to use it? Pretty much not. So anytime you want to use your phone, you just dig it out and away you go. Why? Because it's your possession. Because you purchased it. You own it. I got to take you back to God's Word, because God's Word says that we have been bought with a price. The shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. It takes it a step further and it declares, I'm no longer my own. I've been bought with a price, Laverne. Glory. But we want the name, but I'm not sure we necessarily want the responsibility. We want the name, but I'm not sure we want the relationship. I mean, what we really want, I think, more often than not, is fire insurance. I don't want to necessarily change everything that I got going on in my life. I just don't want to go to hell. Does that make sense? Because I have to make some decisions and I have to stop doing some things because I'm not my... Jesus said, I want you to go talk to this person over here about the Lord. Well, that's the pastor's job. No, he said, go ye. If he owns you, if he's bought you, if he's redeemed you and purchased you and I, then we have a responsibility to go where he tells us to go and do what he tells us to do. And say what he tells us to say. We are his own possession. God's people are those who are faithful to him. So it refers to us as Christians. So God's special people are to show others the goodness of God, because he has called us out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Now, I asked this question earlier. How many of us struggle with the darkness it tries to get on us? If we will walk in the light, the Bible says, as he is in the light, that's where we get in trouble. Let me change what I just said. That's where I get in trouble. Because I don't walk closely sometimes and make sure that I'm in the light. And the moment you back away from the light, darkness fills that void. Because I've said this so many times, it's just you're probably sick of hearing it, but I just feel like I got to say it again, because the smart people, the scientists, or I don't even know who come up with this, but it's true. That there really is no such thing as darkness. It's just that we have an absence of light. We've just come up with this theory of darkness. He's the light of the world. And in Him is no darkness at all. So how about this? As Christians, we are redeemed with a special purpose. Right? A special purpose. What's the purpose? Well, number one is to glorify and to praise the One who has called us out of darkness and out of our hostile surroundings into the light of eternal life. So, we have a special purpose. Charlie, you have a special purpose, don't you? Charlie helps anybody that will slow down long enough for him to catch up with them. It's the truth. It's true. Each one of us, in fact, the 11 that were in this area, this last Sunday morning and gave their lives to Jesus, those 11 people have a calling on their life. God has wired them for a purpose. Terry, in the hospital, he hasn't even really come to grips with his relationship with the Lord, but God has a purpose and a plan for him. His purpose and His plan for us doesn't start when we get saved. His plan and His purpose, He said He's known us from before the foundation of the earth. And He's knit us together in our mother's womb. So His plan and His purpose for us goes way back. He had a plan and a purpose for my life before I ever got saved. I just couldn't walk in that plan until I got right with God. So we are redeemed with a special purpose, and that is to glorify and praise the One who has called us out of darkness. Praise can be sung with the mind, and it can be sung in the spirit. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 14 and 15. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with understanding. That makes sense to anybody? Let me help you with it. Because here Paul's referring to his own experience, his own private use of tongues to God. And he says, I will pray with the Spirit. It means to pray in tongues, which with one's own spirit under the impulse of the Holy Spirit. Amen? It the believer's spirit prays as the Holy Spirit gives us utterance. Paul's talking about the private use of tongues unto God. When you're in your prayer closet, when you're wherever you're at, when you're praying and you're just praying, and if you've ever just been in that place where, God, I just don't even know how to pray, and your spirit just begins to take over, and you begin to pray in tongues, and you don't know what you're praying, but your spirit knows how to communicate with His Spirit. That's what he's talking about here. Paul used tongues not only for praying, but also for singing and praising and giving thanks to God. To pray with the understanding means to pray and to praise with your own mind in a learned language. just like we did tonight on this platform. We sang those songs with our mind in our language, so that everybody knew what we was talking about, what we were singing about, why we were singing, to who we were singing. What was the context of what we were singing? It means to pray and to praise with our own mind in a learned language, but yet also, at the same time, under the impulse or the unction of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is like our cheerleader to worship God. He wells up inside of us. Tammy didn't just sit down today or yesterday or whenever it was that she put this song list together for today, and she just thought, well, this is an easy song, I'll play that one. This is an easy song, this is a difficult song, I'm not playing that one. You sit down and you begin to pray and you begin to seek God. And the Lord begins to lay songs on your heart. Now, He didn't come sit down at the table with you. I mean, I was driving trucks, so I wasn't there. But I don't suppose He came and sat down at the table at the house. But there began to be unction. Does anybody understand unction? Unction, not function. Unction. Leave the F off. Unction. It's when your innermost being, when you are moved on the inside. And unction becomes function. You're spot on, brother. Your unction becomes function. And the unction of the Holy Ghost began to well up in her. And the function that came out of that was a song list ordained by God. The fun, easy ones, as well as the more difficult ones. Because it's not about how well you played the song. It's about how well you engage your heart and your spirit in the song. It's not so much about how you played the drums, whether you were on the beat all the time. But am I worshiping God? I almost turned. I was sitting here, Scott, and I was listening and I wasn't hearing much going on and I thought I'm gonna, and I went to turn to tell you this would be a good place for some cymbals. And when I turned, Scott was like, we'll just leave the cymbals out for now. Because it's more important for you to worship the Lord than to play the instrument. And when I turned and looked, I was like, the Lord was like, I got it. You got it. You handle it. See, that's what I'm talking about. In praying and in singing, both the mind and the spirit are to be fully engaged. And when we sing, we should think about the meaning of the words. Emmanuel, God with us. When we pour out our feelings to God in prayer, we should not turn off our capacity to think. True Christianity, church, is neither barren intellectualism nor thoughtless emotionalism. When anything taken to an extreme can just be, what's the word? Unbalanced, out of balance. We can be so conservative, you know, that we're just, I mean, we don't want to upset anything. We don't want to let any emotion in it. We have to be conservative. Well, I'll bet you they weren't very conservative when them tongues of fire was sitting on them. I could just see Peter looking across the room at one of the brothers and go, dude, you're on fire. Just thought I'd let you know. In fact, everybody's on fire. Can you imagine that room? It so moved Peter that he went out and preached his very first sermon and 3,000 people got saved. They raised such a commotion that they thought they were all drunk. And Peter said, "We're not drunk as you suppose. We're just filled with the Holy Ghost." When the Holy Spirit begins to move, conservatism goes right out the door. Amen? And yet, when we take it too far, when we get our... How many of you know that we can get our flesh involved in the spiritual? Amen? And we start doing some crazy stuff. Pardon me? Zeal can certainly get involved. So there's got to be a balance. There's got to be a blend. But again, I want to just restate that true Christianity is not barren intellectualism. It's not just everything that comes out of... Listen, intellectualism, you can know everything there is to know about God and about God's Word and still miss heaven. You can just miss it. In fact, I've said it a lot, that there's people that are going to miss heaven by 18 inches. It's about the distance from your brain to your heart. Because you can know everything there is to know, but unless it is applied to your heart and there's something changed and transformed about your heart and your life, hasn't done you any good. Hasn't done you any good. Unction will keep you on the straight and narrow, I feel. Amen? When we know that the Holy Spirit is moving in us, and we are directed by the Holy Spirit, and we're not just being goofy, it will invoke the presence of the Lord. And in His presence is the fullness of joy. I can remember old-time services. Did I just say old-time? I ain't that much younger than you are, Skippy. But I've been part of services where to the outsider would just look like nonsense. People just laughing uncontrollably. But it wasn't, they weren't just putting it on. They can't stop. I saw an old lady, go out under the power of the Holy Spirit. No preacher touched her and slapped her down. None of that. Just standing in front of her praying for her, and she just went and hit right on the end of a pew. Now, if you're not, I mean, these chairs, they move, you know, they give, they move, and, you know, and they're cushioned. She was standing right here. Actually, she was standing right over there on the end. And when the power of the Lord hit her, and she just tipped over, and there wasn't five guys behind her to catch her so she didn't hurt herself. She just tipped over. Hit right on the edge of that 2-inch wide oak pew bench end that was shaped like that. And her body just conformed to that thing, and she bounced off of it and just, bam, hit right on the floor. I thought she was dead. Surely she's not going to get up. She had the biggest smile on her face as she just laid there. Nobody touched her. Pretty quick, she just got up, was just so happy. She just, not a sore bone in her anywhere. Why? Because it was orchestrated by God. It was orchestrated by the Holy Spirit of God. Singing and praying in the mind and in the spirit, the spirit and the mind are to be fully engaged. Are we engaging our mind in our worship? Are we allowing His Spirit to begin to have rule and reign in our life? Honestly, sometimes I think we're so concerned about what everybody else is going to think that we don't do the things that we used to do. Hello. Is this working? When's the last time you saw a Jericho march? Half the church doesn't even know what a Jericho march is. Yeah, yes they did. I don't know. I hunger for the freedom and the liberty of the Holy Spirit to just move in our services. I'm grateful for the lives that were transformed, but I long for His Holy Spirit to just take over and begin to do a work. Amen. I'm not a big, huge fan of revivals that break out across the country and everybody in the country goes to there. But the when Brownsville revival started, Lord. The judge in the town, instead of sending criminals to jail, he gave them a choice. He said, you can either go to jail or you can go to that church and see what happens. And the police would bring them in, handcuffed, sit them in the front row of the church, take the handcuffs off of them, and watch what the Lord did. And the Lord began to just transform those people. People would get out of their car and they couldn't even get in the building. They'd just crash in the parking lot. I don't want Brownsville, but I want what happened in Brownsville in Myrtle Creek. You know why? Because God's no respecter of persons. The problem is they prayed for many years before that happened. And people lost their seats, which is a big deal. You know, when somebody takes your seat and won't move, Jim, somebody could take your seat, Jim. They could. Well, they can't because you get here so early that you... Because he just can't wait to get in here. And I'm grateful for that. But listen, everybody wants revival. The problem with revival is revival's messy. Revival's a lot of hard work. Which takes me back to the very first part of what I was talking about when I said, you're God's possession. He can do with you what He wants. And so He's looking for us, His people, to begin to walk in what He's called us to walk in, because He's not going to bring them until we're ready. Because if we're not ready and we don't meet their needs, they'll just leave. Amen? Praise is a big deal. Praise breaks yokes. Praise sets the stage for all that God wants to do. When we come back next week and begin talking, we're going to talk about that praise can be expressed through musical instruments as well as through our voices. Yes, ma'am. Oftentimes, yes. Yeah, and you need to pay attention to that. Who was it? Oh, it was Daryl that was talking about. He was just driving down the road, and the voice of the Lord says, you need to just pull over. Didn't give him any explanation. He just said, pull over. And he followed his advice, and he pulled over. Saved his life. Saved his life. Well, and that's good. That's good. You need to be obedient to the voice of the Lord. The problem is, most often, we want to do something, and the Lord says, I don't want you to do that. And you're like, well, I'm going to do it anyway. And so we do it, and then, you know, we pray, oh, God, fix this. It's your spirit communicating with the Holy Spirit, and He's saying, don't do this or that. And we need to pay attention to it. Amen? Anyway, we're going to be talking about praise expressed through musical instruments next week. So I'm out of time again. Ladies, tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock, right here. And men, 6:30 Friday night. Nothing Saturday, Sunday church, 10 o'clock. Oh boy, it's Coins for Kids Sunday. Girls have won like the last two or three times. As it should be. Anyway, let me close with this. I gave this update on Friday night. Maybe some of you weren't here. Our architect is he needs our prayers. He really needs our prayers, and he's had prostate cancer. They operated and removed the prostate. They said it was 100% contained there, and so he is believing that he's completely cancer-free. He also cut the end off of his finger, and so that's healing up. There's just been a whole bunch of things that have just happened, and so we need to lift him up in prayer. He's a brother in the Lord, and it's amazing the battle that he's having to fight just to get our plans. Amen? So we need to lift him up. We need to continue to pray for Tom. Tom had his first school board meeting last Wednesday. That was good. Yeah. Tom's going to be... Tom is going to be a voice for the Lord on our school board. Amen. And he's going to stand in the gap for our kids. And I'm proud of you. Yes, sir. Awesome. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. That is awesome. Well, Lord, we just thank you for tonight and for your goodness. And Lord, we praise you right now, Lord, for all the miracles that you're doing and lives that are being touched and transformed. God, I just want to say thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for good reports like Gene just gave. And Lord, we want to thank you, God, that for the good report from our architect, Lord. But we lift him up to you, God. Completely heal that finger, Lord, and help him to be able to get right back on track and to be able to do all the things that he has to do, Father. And I thank you. I pray for Tom tonight, God. I pray you give him boldness. I pray you give him wisdom. I pray that you'd fill his mouth with your words and his mind with your thoughts and his ears with your still small voice as he sits on those school board meetings, Father. God, I pray for favor of the Lord. God, that we could get Jesus back in our schools, God, and that we would see a change. And Father, I just thank you for it. God, watch over us the rest of this week. Keep a close eye on us. Keep us safe. Give us good sleep tonight, Lord. Help us to wake up tomorrow refreshed and saying, God, I recognize I'm your child today, your special possession. So, Lord, use us for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. God bless you. God go with you. Have a great evening. We'll see you.